Our scripture reading this morning, please turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. We'll be reading verses 17 through 24. And if you're using a Scofield reference Bible, the page number is 1097, 1097, Luke chapter 15, verses 17 through 24. And we'll read these verses responsively. Let's all stand. Everyone standing, please, for the reading of God's Word. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and he was yet a great way off. His father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And let's pray. Father, meet with us now in this hour. Bless the service, the preaching, and the preacher. May our hearts be truly open to thy word and bless us with attentiveness and a desire to hear that which you have put in the heart of the man of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, the hour is late, and I'm going to ask you to be very still. No moving around whatsoever. We just have a few minutes for the message. I'll ask that everyone find his place, be very, very still and very, very quiet. This morning, I'm going to leave the flock for the one lost in the wilderness. I'm going to leave the purse for the one lost coin. And I'm going to leave the saint and turn to the sinner. I hardly ever do that. I almost always preach to the saint. I almost always do what I can to keep the coins secure in the purse and the 99 in the flock. And then during the week we seek the one that's lost. But this morning I'm going to turn the camera from the boy who left home and we call the prodigal, and from the boy who stayed at home and who was jealous of the attention of his brother, that his brother received, and I'm going to focus the spotlight on the father. And this morning, if you're one of those who's never taken time to receive Christ as your Savior, I'm going to turn my attention toward you today. Of course, any time a Christian hears the gospel, he's fed. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new song, it'll just be about the old story that I've loved so long. And every time a Christian is reminded that you must realize that you're a sinner and that sinners are lost and that Christ paid the penalty for sinners and that those that come to him in faith can be forgiven of sin and given a home eternal in heaven, the Christian, the born-again Christian, right with God, rejoices once again to remember how he felt and to recall the marvelous experience of receiving Christ that he enjoyed when he received Christ. I'm going to ask the ushers to do your job now as I pray and then as I preach. Everyone is still and everyone is quiet and no one moving around and no one coming into the auditorium while I speak. Heavenly Father, what goes on here in the next 20 or 25 minutes is more important than the Congress of the United States. This room this morning receives the attention of heaven more than the White House or the Kremlin or the Supreme Court building. This is the biggest thing in the world, for it deals with another world and our plans to go there. Speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. There he comes. He's finally realized what Daddy said is true. He's finally realized that his mother was not as old fogey as he thought she had been. He has finally realized that the sermons that poured forth bathed in tears from God's man were true after all. He had finally realized that the advertisement of sin was a lie and that Satan's pictures of sin were but facades. He's finally drunk the last cup, the last dreg in the cup of sin, and has found that it leaves an awful taste in one's mouth. He's finally found that sin begins with a lot of money and ends in the hog pen, and so he returns to his father's home. And there he comes. His clothes hang about him as rags. He is disgraced in the eyes of good people. He has squandered his father's possessions and that which was rightly his. He has spent his living with harlots. He bears the odor of the pigsty. He is fresh from the gruntings of the swine. The taste of husk are still in his mouth, and tears flow as rivers down his cheeks, with the scars of sin as the banks of those rivers. His eyes are reddened by sin's inevitabilities. The smell of dried dung is overwhelming, and there he stands looking at the old. You never get so far away but what the old house does something to you. I mean, the old home place. Now, somebody asked my sister the other day, said, is it really true what Brother Hiles says, that he lived in all those houses while he was growing up? And I was over at Mother's house, and Mother and I were talking about it, and we got to counting all the houses that we lived in, and we found that I, myself, lived in 21 different houses by the time I was 18 years of age when I went in the Army in World War II. And I drove and saw those houses recently, and every one of them still bears a wonderful memory for me. And there he stands, looking at the old home place, and memories flood his soul as he stands bedraggled with the scars and marks and results of sin obvious to all who see him, looking at the old home place and saying, I'm going to go back and tell my dad, if he'll just take me back, I'll be as one of servants. I'm not worthy to be a boy again or a son again. I'll be as one of the hired servants. But the Bible says his father saw him. His father saw him. He saw you, and he sees you this morning. You see, God loves you. I've said behind this pulpit again and again and again, I don't know any better news than that. If I could tell you all the good news in the world wrapped one big package, it would fade into oblivion in comparison to one great, marvelous truth. God loves you. Ah, the day that my Sunday school teacher told me that when I was 5 years old, and her tears dropped off on my bare feet, and she said to me, Jackie boy, God loves you. From that moment till this moment, to 48 years later, I'm as amazed today that God could love me as I was 48 years ago. Loves you. God loves you! Alcoholic, squandering your income and your life and wasting God's precious gift of life. God loves you! Dope addict with a needle quivering to try to find your vein. God loves you! Mission man a long ways from those that you know and love. God loves you! Deaf people that did not hear the music a while ago. God loves you! Dear blind people that have not seen a thing in years. God loves you! Dear fallen woman who's given the precious possession of your debt for a paltry sum of money. God loves you. God loves you. Little bus child who found the way to church this morning on a bus and wonder if your mom and dad will be home when you get back. God loves you. I know no better news than that. And the father loving the son is on top of the house, the housetop, and he's looking down the road as he does, as he has for every day now since the son is gone. And he sees the Son. God saw you when you first sipped of sin's cup. God saw you when you feigned laughter beneath the glare of sin's imitation, Son. God saw you in sin's morning when all was bright and gay. It looked like that the laughter would never stop and the sun would never set and the fun would never cease. God saw you
God saw you at sin's noontide, when you gave no thought that evening would come. And God saw you in sin's evening, when its shadows began to fall. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, its shadows will fall. Its shadows do come. The first taste in the cup is a sweet taste, but the last taste is always bitter. And have fun though you may, and think we're fools though you may, and call us fanatics though you may, and think we're fools though you may, it's still true. Sin's nighttime cometh. You'll find one of these days the shadows will fall, but God saw you when those shadows fell. God saw you in sin's midnight, when you needed the hogs and stole their husk for your sustenance. His heart beat faster when he saw you weep hours of tears as you began to think of home. He saw you as you stumbled back on the same road on which you briskly ran away. And God sees you standing there now. And God's waiting for one step from you toward himself. And when God just sees one step from you toward himself, you try it this morning. You just step out in that aisle. After a while, if you don't know that you're saved, you take one step toward that aisle. Oh, the Lord Jesus will run and meet you before you get 2 steps down the aisle. I recall time and time again when I prayed for somebody to be saved, and I stand up here and give the invitation, and down the aisle they've come. Time and time again, I'm going to leave the platform and jump down on the main level and run down the aisle and throw my arms around you and say, welcome back, welcome home, welcome home. And God's that way this morning. God saw him. I like this. It says that the father ran. He ran. He didn't stand up and say, come on, son, come on home. Oh, no. When he saw the son making his trek back to the father's house, he ran. He's on the housetop. Down comes the old gentleman and wraps his garments around him and girds his garments around him. His servants are startled. Where is the old man going so fast? Never saw him run like that. He doesn't take the road. He jumps across the hedge and takes the shortcut across the path in the field. And he runs toward his son and welcomes him home. Morning, you just take one glimpse toward God, as Spurgeon used to say. He used to say, come to Jesus. If you can't come to Jesus, crawl to Jesus. If you can't crawl to Jesus, look toward Jesus. There's life for the Savior. Oh, God loves you this morning. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Colston, if Jeff would ever go into awful sin, and can you imagine if Jeff would ever leave your home and bring reproach and shame? And can you imagine how you and Elaine would weep night after night, and at your family altar or time of prayer, you'd pray and say, oh, God, bring Jeff back. Oh, God, bring him back. And word comes that Jeff is on dope in another, maybe up in Canada somewhere, on dope, and word comes maybe he's a hippie. I talked to one of our ex-members of the day who lives down south, and he put his head on my shoulder, and he said, Brother Hiles, he said, my boy, you know how he loved you, and you know how you loved him. And I said, of course I do. How's he doing? Oh, he said, Brother Hiles, he's living with a bunch of homosexuals out in California. And he said, oh, Brother Hiles, if I just stayed in First Baptist Church of Hammond, if I just stayed there, he said, I didn't know what was going to happen. He said, Brother Hiles, I love him. Oh, I love him, I love him, I love him. And we wept and mingled and shared our grief as that young man. I can recall when he used to come to my office. I can recall when I used to meet with him once a week and counsel with him to try to help the boy. And now he's off. Oh, Brother Colston, if Jeff ever did that. And one day, somebody said, Jeff's back in town. I saw him coming toward the house. Elaine had run down the street, and Brother Colston had waddled down the street and then hold their arms out and say, welcome home, Jeff. Welcome home. And the father left the top and ran down the stairs and jumped the hedge and ran across the field and ran across the path. Now, what's this story for? This story is to show you the great heart and compassionate, merciful love of God and the forgiving power of our wonderful Savior. Oh, listen to me. I've wanted to preach. I'm not going to do it. Because I've preached it here before a time or two, but I can't wait till I can get somewhere. I've been begging God, let me preach the story about that little fellow Mephibosheth that was crippled, and I want to preach it ever since I went to Texas 2 weeks ago and traced my roots for a while and realize that God lifted me out of a little trouble of a poor, poverty-stricken life and made me a pastor of a great church and made something out of me and let me be a blessing to a few people and made me a son and put decent clothes on my back and a good house around my body and a good car to drive and people that love me in a ministry. I wanted to jump up and down for 2 weeks and preach about that little crippled fellow down in the bar that was invited to come to the king's palace. This morning, tucked away back in the farthest corner of the room, there's somebody who's tired of sin. You started out and it was attractive and it was wonderful, but you've tasted it now. And the midnight has come, and the inevitability has come, and you've found, as these dear mission men have found up here, sin never pays. Oh, young people, listen to me. The devil's a liar. The devil's a crook. Sin is not fun. Sin is not fun. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, sin, when it starts, bringeth forth life. But sin, when it is finished, he said, you, everything is finally finished. Can you see them? Now, what did the son say? Huh? Son said, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. No. Dad, is the priest here? I want him to sprinkle me and give me a wafer to eat. I want to join the church and get baptized. Oh, he said the only thing that you can say to prepare you to meet God, and that is, I have sinned. He said, I've sinned. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I have sinned, said Pharaoh, with the blood of the Israelites dripping off his wicked fingers. I have sinned, said Achan, with the imprint of the gown of Babylon, the coat of Babylon, still on his hands as the people stoned him beside his family. I have sinned, said David, with the marks of sin all over his brow and the blood of Uriah dripping from his murderous hands. I have sinned, said Job, when pride gripped his heart because he stood for God. I have sinned, said the prodigal, as he came back from the hog, the smell of husk and the hog's dung on his body. I have sinned, said Balaam, as he corrupted a whole nation because he left the word of God and went to Moab. I have sinned, said Saul. Jealousy gripped his heart and he vowed to kill David. I have sinned, said Shimei, when he hurled stones at God's man and accused the man of God in his darkest hour. I have sinned, said Iscariot, trying to throw away 30 pieces of silver. Yo-yo, keep coming back, and he throws away, and they keep coming back, throws away, and those 30 pieces of silver. And somebody said, made a painting of Judas Iscariot, and that painting of Judas Iscariot in the fires of torment, suffering, and trying to get rid of 30 pieces of silver. I have sinned, said Judas, with his thieving hands dripping with the blood of Jesus Christ, still tingling from the traitor's kiss. And that's all you have to do. Don't come like Naaman came with a great caravan of riches. This morning, if you will say, I have sinned. Preacher, what do I got to do? Get baptized? Oh, no. What have I got to do? Join a church? Oh, no. Oh, what have I got to do? You just come to Jesus. Sin. And the Heavenly Father will jump up off heaven's throne and run to the portals of heaven and say, come on home, come on home. And before you say, I have sinned, before it's finished, when you trust the Savior, God has your name written in heaven and already has the architect for drawing plans for your home in heaven and has the contractor employed and the carpenters and the masons already to build your home eternal in the skies, a home not made with hands. I'm saying, come and say, I've sinned. I like this. He took him as he was. He took him just like he was. Now the Father, he didn't say, son, as soon as you get a bath, I'll hug you. He didn't say, son, as soon as you get on some clean clothes now, get some clean clothes on, I'll hug you. Oh no. He hugged the swine-eyes coat of his son. The husk-scented face. He didn't have to bathe. And by the way, you don't have to bathe to get saved either. Somebody says, as soon as I can give up all my sins, I'm going to get saved. You'll die and go to hell. God wants you like you are. I love to tell that story I tell so often here about Charlotte. She was trying to get saved. Charlotte trying to get saved and couldn't understand it. And somebody took her to a Roman shoulder and she couldn't understand it. And somebody took her to John's three and showed her and she couldn't understand it. Somebody shouted and said, well, just come to Jesus. Just Jesus. And she said, well, how do you come to Jesus? And somebody shouted, come as you are. But I can do that. She came to Jesus, and then she sat down that song, just as I am without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to him whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. You come to God with your alcohol-scented breath. God will hug you and kiss your old lips just like you just put some soap in your mouth and gargle the rain. If you come to God today in your dope-scented clothes, and your tobacco-scented clothes, and with the rags of sin, God will come and hug you just as much as if you came in a tuxedo or in tails. Scissor-tailed coat and striped trousers. The Father runs and hugs him like he is. And you come as you are. Come just like you are. He hugged his filthy neck, but there's something I like. He received him completely, immediately. He didn't say. Now, son, you'll have to stay out in the house, back in the back of the little shack, back in the back of the house for a while. And then after you've done that, then you can come and you can live in the barn for a few nights. You've done that. Then you can come with a servant's house and live with a servant for a while. And then an occasional visit to my house. And then after that, you can sit at the end of the table for a while. And then if you prove yourself, I'll restore your position. Oh, no, 10,000. No. He said to the servants, hey, the fatted calf, we're going to have a barbecue. Hey, go tell the neighbors, my boy was lost, he's now found. My boy was away, but now he's home. My boy was in sin, but he's come back. My boy, tell the neighbors, my boy's home. And the neighbors come, and the father takes a ring and puts it on his finger. Takes the best robe he has and puts it on his back. And he puts sandals on his feet. Wait a minute. The father said, go kill the fatted calf. Hey, go get one of the fatted calves and kill it.
No. He said, go kill the fatted calf. You know why? I'll tell you why. And the father knew the boy. And he said to one of the servants, choose the best you got. I want you to fatten him up. The father said, that's the one they're going to eat when my boy gets home. He didn't doubt but that his boy was coming home. Father, I know that many mothers here this morning whose hearts are breaking right now because they're out in deep sin.
The father didn't say, if he comes home, we're going to kill one of the calves. Oh, no. He'd get up in the morning, walk out and say, looking pretty good, isn't he, servant? And be sure and feed that one good. That's the one we're going to eat. My boy comes home. And the next day, how is it? How's the calf? Doing fine. Now, this the calves well, but feed that calf better than the rest of them because so we're going to feast on that calf. And when the boy, he said, kill the fatted calf. We've been getting ready. Hey, he's here now, servant. I told you to kill the fatted calf.
Ah, you this morning, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made, stalk on earth a quill, and every man by trade, to write the love of God above the ocean high, nor could the whole contain the though stretch from sky to sky, world of tears, world of heartache. Oh, my, 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 if you could have heard the stories I've heard in the last 2 weeks. If you could have someone come as a man came to Moss of the Bay and see these hands. He said, in the last 4 months, I've killed a man with these hands. Would God have me? Yeah, he sure would have you. But you just sinner. That's all he can get. Nobody else around but sinners and godly. Oh, you look around this morning and you see this crowd. I saw those deacons walk down a while ago. And as they walked down, I remembered one that sat over here a while ago. He was the best man. I never met him before. No. He's sitting in my office and I looked at him and I said,
said, do you know if you died, you'd go to heaven? And he said, I said, would you like to know? And less than 15 minutes before the wedding, we were sitting over there, and he ought to see Christ as Savior. I'll never forget it. And as soon as the wedding was over, we told the bride, friend of the bride, and she kissed the best man, for she kissed, you know. And after it's all over, of course, she kissed him at the altar, but as she hugged and kissed him, dear, dear friend, and she was so happy. I watched him as I saw one deacon come down. I remember when he was a drunkard. I recall when he was an alcoholic and his family was praying for him, and he got saved. Another deacon came down the aisle a while ago. I recall when a girl, well, she went soul winning one day with me, and we witnessed to him. Sort of rude to us. We'd talk about the gospel. Cindy began to pray night after night. She'd pray for them saved. Just Cindy was a little tight, just a little girl. God saved that man night after night. I remember that Sunday morning he sat back here, and we prayed. We knew he was there. And we prayed, and the invitation came, and the choir couldn't sing because they were all weeping and praying. Daughter put her hand on his shoulder and said, Daddy, be saved. I recall his son came and said, Daddy, please be saved. And I went back and put my arms around him, and I said, Paul, I'd rather see you saved than anybody in the world today. He looked at me and he said, Preacher, you mean that, don't you? And I said, no, I mean it. And he came down that aisle right there. And all of heaven broke loose. I'll tell you what we had. Why? The prodigal is... Hey, kill the fatted calf and get the ring we've been saving for him. And that robe that Mama made for him before she died. Get it and put it on his back. On his finger and the shoes on his feet. And tell the neighbors to come. About you this morning. That's a pretty strong story to tell the love of God, because no human story can describe God's mercy and God's love. But as best God could put it, understand it, that's what it is. But there's something about it. The Lord Jesus said, that story shows us that there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner, that over more than over 99 just persons need no repentance. But it says, the angels rejoice when you get saved. I'm sure they do, but that's not what the Bible says. It says there's joy in the presence of the angels. Who is in the presence of the angels? The Father. Who is in the presence of the angels? The Lord Jesus. Who is in the presence of the angels? Your dear grandmother. Your old granddad. Your dad. Your brother. Your little baby, your son, your daughter. Oh, do you have love in heaven? If you'd walk down this aisle this morning and give your life to Christ and say, I've sinned and I come to Jesus. Oh, you talk about rejoicing. Somebody run across, hey, Jesus! Granddaddy just got saved. He just got converted. Or an old dear father would say, there's my boy. There's my boy. He just got saved. I'm the purpose of this church, of our schools, the purpose of the choir, the purpose of the Sunday school, the purpose of every ministry of this church points to what we're going to do in just a minute. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, and we're going to ask everyone who's never taken time to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to ask you to leave your seat wherever you are, find your way to the nearest aisle or the nearest, and come down to the front and let us take the word of God and show you how you can go to Him. Oh, God loves you. The Father's waiting this morning. At the heart's door, the Savior. At the heart's door, fast closed. And don't you hear Him? Draw the bolt and let Him in. Invitation time.